Amen. When I hear that song, it bring back memories to me as well. The choir coming in, it also reminds me of, you know, a lot of my grandmother, some of those old songs, and just to hear, I'm telling you something, I love to be in the presence of elderly people. I can sit and talk to them all day or listen to them all day. It's just, to me, my spirit craves that knowledge and that wisdom that they have, and it's like sucking it all up is just really good for me. So, I mean, I can be in their presence all day long, but just listen to how they made it and what they came through and the things that, you know, we have a luxury of where they didn't have a luxury of back then, how they made their own. I mean, I'm hearing stories about how they made their own soap. They raised their own food. I mean, here we go to the store and the food is there, but they did all of these things. Amen. The recipes, the remedies. Amen. I remember my grandmother going out to the pine tree and was getting ready to doctor up some medicine. Just the fact of her going out there made me say, Grandma, I feel better. Amen. I was like, Grandma, she get pull them off the trees and start boiling them. I was like, well, Grandma, I'm fine. Look at me. I'm doing jumping jacks. I said, Grandma, I feel good, but it's too late. You spoke the word. Grandma come up with a remedy, and next thing you know, if you were down like this, that stuff would make you stand up like that. You know, I mean, those are things that we need to share. Amen. Those you didn't have the Walgreens on every corner. I mean, you had parents, you know, who did those things. So we come this far. Come this far. Leaning on the Lord. God kept us. Amen. I'm sure some of you can take it further than that. But I just thank God just for you all just teaching the history. Amen. Luke chapter 5, Luke chapter 5, verse 12. Luke chapter 5, verse 12. When you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen?
Amen.
Amen. Some of you are already there. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Some of you all may got a little insight then on what's getting ready to go down. I'm reading from the King James Version. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Let me just share with you just for a moment. My subject is always the same. It's centered around, pointed towards Jesus Christ. During Jesus' earthly ministry, Jesus touched and transformed countless lives. Jesus performed many miracles, and they were documented by eyewitnesses. Those accounts represented only a small number of people who were made whole by Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The miracles of Jesus that were written down in the New Testament serve a specific purpose. None were performed randomly, for amusement or for show. Each miracle was accompanied by a message, and either met a serious human need or confirm Jesus' identity and authority as the Son of the Living God. Jesus healed people. Jesus had power over nature, and he even overcame death. But what about the miracles he didn't do? There are some instances in the Bible where Jesus chose not to do a miraculous wonder, as you know. Now, the first one, not going to go through all of them, but just he chose not to do some miracles for a reason. One, a miracle without faith. If you look in Mark chapter 6 and verses 1 through 6, Jesus returns to his hometown, Nazareth. These people knew Jesus before he even started his ministry. Y'all know how it is when you know somebody growing up and all of a sudden they become a deacon and a preacher or whatever. You say, oh, I knew you back when. And sometimes in our minds, we keep this person back then instead of who they are right now. People don't realize that you can change. Amen? So they remember Jesus back then, but he is a changed person back. He's a changed person now. And if you read Luke chapter 6 and verse 1, it said, and he went out from hence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence have this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hand? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Hosea and Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty works, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folks and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. This isn't suggesting that faith is some sort of fuel for miracles, and Jesus was running on empty. The lack of faith meant that people didn't ask Jesus to help them. Because of their lack of faith, Jesus chose not to. The bottom line is there was no faith, so in instance, Jesus didn't do any miracles. So that's something for you to keep in your memory. Another instance where Jesus didn't perform was and shows it in Mark chapter 8. Here's a situation where people always want to see a sign. Amen? Y'all know people like that? I believe it when I see it. Unless the Lord point his finger down from heaven and show me that this is the person, then I'll do it. See, we want signs like that. Not only is that, God's going to have to come and tell me himself. Nobody has that attitude this morning, but you have it on the rest of the week. Mark chapter 8, okay, verse 11. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why does this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And he left them and entered into a ship again, departed to the other side. Let me tell you something. This is why Jesus didn't do it. Miracles are not for our entertainment. Miracles are not a requirement for faith. It's not that. If all of creation testifies about our Creator, why should Jesus have to give us a personal sign from heaven on top of what you are already testifying and saying he's the creator of all things. If you ask God for a sign from heaven, then chances are you're really no different than the Pharisees. I'm just saying. Another thing, another sign. People wanted Jesus to do a miracle. And I'm glad he didn't do a miracle with this one as far as the people was concerned. People wanted Jesus to come down off the cross. A miracle that would have contradicted God's plan. It was told that he was going to do this. It was said through generations that how the Lord how Jesus was going to die. And I'm thankful that he didn't listen to the people. As Jesus hung on the cross, these people, boy, I can tell you, boy, we could be something else, y'all. As Jesus hung on the cross, his divinity, wholeness, religion, teaching was mocked. Again, people wanted to see a sign from heaven, and their request for a miracle emerged from a severe lack of faith. They did not believe Jesus was who he said he was, and they would not believe him unless the God of the universe did what they asked him right then and right there. As Jesus was hanging there dying, keep this in mind, he was fully God and he was fully man. The God that was in him stayed on that cross. But because, also think this in mind, he's also fully man. And you know how we are to try to please other folks. And I'm sure there's a part of him that man side of him probably said, well, let me go down and show them. Y'all follow what I'm saying? So he has two different, he's fully God and he's fully man. So God, knowing what his purpose is, and the man part is, I want to show you. Amen? We get that way sometimes. And in Mark chapter 15, verse 29, people making fun of him, wanting him to come down. And he said, and they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, ah, thou that destroyed the temple and build it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise, also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, he saved others. Himself, he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled. Jesus didn't come down because the cross had a purpose. The miracle of his survival would have undermined the greater miracle of his resurrection. The miracle Jesus didn't do are equally important in helping us understand that his ways are higher than our ways. Okay? Again, each miracle was accompanied by a message and either met a serious human need or confirmed Jesus' identity as an authority as the Son of the Living God. Now, sometimes Jesus called on God the Father when performing miracles, and other times he acted on his own, revealing both the Trinity and his own divinity. Amen? See, we need that teaching sometimes to understand why things happen. A lot of us, we want to come to church and want the preacher to make us feel good. Amen? I hope you feel good even with the teaching. The first miracle that Jesus done, and I hear a lot of sinners tell this to me. They say this, well, Jesus turned water into wine, which justifies their way of doing things. And you can't help but just sit there and just go like, okay, that's the one that you studied, okay? That's the one that you picked out. When Jesus turned the water into wine at the wedding feast at Canaan, he performed his first miraculous sign. as the Gospel of John recorded it. This miracle showed Jesus supernatural, okay, supernatural control over physical elements like water. The sinners take it, oh, we can drink. No, I'm trying to teach people that he was basically saying that I'm over water, over any elements. Okay? Understand the teaching now that Jesus was doing for us. Amen? Amen? So, and what he was doing was, he was saying that he's over the elements like water. It revealed his glory as the Son of God and marked the beginning of his public ministry. Some of Jesus' most amazing miracles including raising people from the dead, restoring sight to the blind, casting out demons, healing the sick, walking on water. All of Jesus' miracles provided a dramatic and clear evidence that he is the Son of God, validating his claim to the world. I'm getting to the scripture. I just have to let you know about Jesus. I have to get you to understand who we are talking about this morning. And basically what I'm doing is just giving you a little glimpse of his resume. Amen. Most people, they don't want to hire you until they see your resume. They want to see what they're looking at and what they're working with. So I'm trying to get you to understand that if he's not your savior this morning, when you get done looking at his resume. Amen. These signs and wonders demonstrated Jesus' absolute power and authority over nature and his limited compassion, again, proving that he is indeed the promised Messiah that you heard from the beginning all the way until the Amen. Amen? So, everything happens for a reason. You have to understand it. You have to know it. Everything happens for a reason. Let Jesus bring some order to the mess that you're in. Amen? If you got some mess in your life, you can allow, if you are willing, let the Lord bring some order to your mess. Now, the story of the leper is he was rejected by society. His body was literally decaying from the disease, and the messed up man says to our Lord and Savior, if thou will, thou canst make me clean. In other words, if you are willing, bring order into the mess in my life, into my decaying body. I'm an outcast. My mind is going. My life is spiraling out of control. In other words, Jesus, rock my world right now if you're willing. So in other words, what I'm trying to get you to understand this morning, I'm talking to anyone today who has a messed up life, and those who think they don't have a messed up life, those who need better but can't get it together, those that feel stuck in a bad relationship, stuck with not enough resources, messed up in the mind, confused. The first lesson from the leper is that he recognized his life is a mess. The leper comes to Jesus and asks for wholeness. No one would be helped with their addiction until they admit they're addicted. Amen? You got to first admit it. So the leper is not helped till he asks for help. And you have the very same invitation that is open to each and every one of us right here, right now. We have that same standing invitation with Jesus. There's something about knowing your need. Clearly the man with leprosy knows his life is a mess. I know people who need to make better choices and instead chooses to live chronic messed up lives. Ask yourself, what am I blind to? What sin am I keeping to myself that I don't want Jesus to touch? What bad decision do I still delight in and don't even know it? Your first prayer is to ask Jesus to reveal your own weakness and sin. Amen? We need the Lord to reveal stuff to us because we ain't going to tell nobody. Number said that we ain't going to even acknowledge it. Amen? See, here's the thing. For most of us, failure is easy to handle than success. Why? Failures mean you don't have to make any changes. Living a chronic, unending, continual, constant mess up life actually has a kind of twisted stability to it. Failure comes with excuses. It wasn't the right time. I'm a victim. I'm being targeted. See, that's the way we are when we're in that failure. We are always saying those cliches, those phrases. Now here's the thing. Success means more. It means responsibility. I found that on my job. The more successful I become, the more responsibility they give me. I mean, come on, they'll give it to you. It's more risk. Losing isn't easy. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you, we get this thing where, you know, success is harder. It's harder. Success comes with an unknown and unpredictable future. To follow God would mean changes. The leper could have chosen to accept his place in life, feeling sorry for himself, declaring himself a victim, living a life of complete poverty, but instead he musters up the strength and conviction to approach Jesus. Success is not easy. The world is full of people who cut themselves short. Cut themselves short. The leper already rejected the temptation to accept defeat. He already rejected that when he started going towards Jesus. For the Christian who believes in Jesus Christ, failure is not an option. The leper, while his life is a mess, imagines wholeness. If you are willing, there's a note of confidence in Jesus and understood belief that God can do anything. The leper speaks to our expectation. What do you expect of Christianity? Sometimes we have in our mind exactly how God is supposed to treat us and what our lives are supposed to look like. That's what we have in our mind. Early death disappoints us. See it all, hear it all the time. Early death disappoints us. Unexpected illness, a twist of plans derail our ideas. We get disappointed when we have false expectation of what life would hold for us. The leper is amazing because he obviously did not want to live as a leper. A social outcast, removed even from his own family, yet he wasn't blaming God. Y'all know how a lot of times we start blaming God. First thing come out of my mouth, God. I mean, when I first started on this Christian journey some years ago, and I was on a job, and this woman had something to happen in her family, the first thing she blamed, why did God allow this to happen if he's a loving God? Here we go again. We always want to blame God. Unmet expectation can depress us, disappoint us, compromise us. The best we can do is what the leper does. He has vision of healthier life. He leaves it up to Jesus. If you're willing. This is me speaking this. Rock my world. That's the translation I'm getting. He said, Lord, if you're willing. He said, come on and rock my world. So what do you expect? Many people reject the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob because they have some narrow expectation of what a loving God is supposed to act like. The leper stripped away of assumptions and false expectation and simply said to Jesus, if thou will, thou can make me clean. He just wanted, he said, if thou will, you can, in other words, I have confidence that you can do it because nobody else could. Because if they could, I wouldn't be here. But I know you can, so if you will,
Come on, Lord, rock my world today. This leper, a man who was sick with a deadly skin disease, a man who had been separated from his family and society because of his contagious skin disease, a man who wasn't really supposed to be seen in public because the law of Moses stated that those who had leprosy were supposed to stay in a leper camp until the leprosy disappeared from their bodies. A man who was in desperate situation, a man who seems to be in a helpless condition, but despite his adverse circumstances, this leper was in need of healing. Let me tell you something. People in pain want help. You in pain, man, you want some help. Whether it's the pain from emotional or physical scars, man, you want some help right now. You want some relief of this pain. I can put it to you this way. When you're hungry, hey, you can talk about food all you want to. I need you to put something in it. Your stomach is like, hey, stop all that talking and drop something down. You can talk all you want to, but you better start putting it down in there so I can work with it. In other words, this pain is just going to get even louder. The scripture says, behold, there came a leper. The first thing that this leper man did was he came to Jesus. Mark chapter 1:40, and there came. So you got to read it again because, see, folks don't believe you. You got to read the scriptures to him. And there came a leper to him. That's Jesus, in case you know him. Beseeching him. That's Jesus. And kneeling down to him. That's Jesus. And saying unto him. That's Jesus. If thou will, thou can make me clean. That is the lesson for us here right now. If you want Jesus to be willing to do anything for you, you must first make the step towards him. You must learn to come to him in prayer, seeking his face, seeking his guidance, seeking his strength, seeking his healing, seeking his deliverance, seeking his salvation, seeking his guidance, seeking his grace and mercy. This man came to Jesus. Thank God that this man didn't wait until he got better to come to Jesus. If this leper had waited until he got to Jesus, he might have died and not had the chance to see Jesus. This leper came to Jesus with his sickness and all. He came to Jesus in pain and all. He came to Jesus in desperate and all. I know a lot of people who would say, y'all heard this phrase before. You're going to hear it again. Trust me this. When I get myself together. See, they're church people. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Recruiters. Invitation to people. When the people say, when I get myself together, then I'm going to come to church. Let me tell you something. If you can get yourself together, you wouldn't be in the situation that you're in, first of all. And second of all, you can't get yourself together. I'm just saying, you can't get yourself together. If this leper had said, well, let me get myself together before I go to the Lord, he would have never made it. He knew he couldn't get himself together. That's why he said, Lord, if thou will, rock my world. We always say, I'll attend church more when I start doing things better. You can't get it together. You can't. But you'll never get right, nor will you ever get your own self together. You need to come to Jesus so he can make you right and better, because he's the only one that can rock your world. You ain't gonna find nobody that's gonna rock your world like the Lord. I'm going to tell you that right now. I can tell you, you can stop looking. If you're on the search engine, you can stop looking. I'm telling you, the only person that's going to rock your world is Jesus Christ. The Lord says in Isaiah chapter 1:8, come now and let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, They shall be as white as snow. Thou that be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Let me say this to you. Y'all know this is an unforgiving world. Let me say this again. This is an unforgiving world. If you do anything, I mean, and I don't care what it is, whatever you're doing, they're going to ask you to step down. Or whatever it is that they're going to be like, he needs to be sent to hell right now. That's the way this world lives. They were like, man, if they could, they would send you to hell right now. Unforgiving world. But you know what I read is when the lady who was caught in adultery and all those people represented, every last one that was accusing, said, Lord, she should be put to death, should be stoned. And Jesus patiently said, he that does not have sin among them, why don't you throw it first? And what did they do? They dropped it. They dropped it. Now, what did Jesus say to the lady who they brought before? Woman, where's your accusers? Looked around, she ain't seen none. The Lord said, go thy way and sin no more. Now, y'all don't hear that on the news, do you? No. Crucify them. Put them on the cross. That person needs to be in hell. I hope they burn in hell. That's what they say on the news. There is no forgiveness. No forgiveness in this world. You do anything, crucify them. Put them on the cross. But we have a Lord that is willing to forgive us of our sin. Jesus is willing to do anything for you, but you must be willing to come to him for it. That is why Hebrews, it says, come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. We need God's grace and mercy. Some people call them the twins. I've heard that before. No matter. I need them both. Grace and mercy. Now, not only did this leprous man come to Jesus to be healed, but notice how he came. The scripture says he came worshiping Jesus as Lord because he addressed Jesus as Lord. This man recognized and believed that Jesus was more than just a man. You understand that? He realized he was, oh, this is more than just a man now. More than just a Jew, more than just a teacher. He saw Jesus as the Son of the living God, the Messiah who is able to heal and deliver. When we come to Jesus, we must come willing to see him as the Son of the living God. We must be willing to see him as Lord. We must be willing to see him as the Messiah. We must be willing to see him as he is, as our Savior, as our bread of life, as the light of life, as our shepherd. As the rock of salvation, our deliverer, our healer, our great Jehovah, our Holy Spirit, our Redeemer, our King of Kings, all of the above. You have to see him above every name, above everything. You have to see him above all of that. And when this man had worshiped Jesus, notice, he worshiped Jesus because before he touched him. Bow down, kneel down before Jesus even touched him. He did not wait until he was touched by Jesus to worship him. But he worshiped Jesus because before he touched him. See, a lot of us, listen to this. A lot of us wait until Jesus blesses us before we worship him. We wait until Jesus blesses us with a new home, a new car, a new job, a new promotion. A new wife, new husband. We wait until all these things are put in place. Then we say, I'll worship when I get that. But how many know when you get that, you still ain't going to worship? Some of us wait until we get well, get delivered, get strengthened, and then we say, okay, now I can worship the Lord. Now I can go to church. Before you get blessed, before you get healed, before you get that new house, that new car, that new job, that new promotion, your new wife, your new husband, I heard the songwriter said that when praises go up, blessings come down. When you start praising the Lord, this man started praising and worshiping the Lord before he received his blessing. He was still in his mess, but he would bow down and worship the Lord because he knew what God was capable of doing. I said this before, and it's worth saying again. When my kids hand me something, they said, Daddy, this is broke. This is broke. Can you fix this, Daddy? Daddy, can you fix this? And they know that the confidence that they have in me. Let me tell you what they do. They start praising and shouting before I even fix it. You want to know how I know? Because when they hand it to me, they get the dancing. You see my daughter, she do this. She get the dancing because she knows that once it's in my hands, she know I'm going to fix it because when I return it to her, it's going to work just like it did. Y'all follow what I'm saying? So she gives it to me. Oh, my son will give it to me. I said, Daddy, can you fix it? And Jeremiah would be like, Daddy, you did it. He's very dramatic. Let me tell you that right now. That's the way God wants us to be. When we put it in God's hand, we ought to get the shouting and dancing. Give him that pre-praise before he even do it. Start saying, Lord, I thank you already. And just start dancing. And when God give it back to you, it won't be the same. What I'm saying, when I say God give it back to you, I'm talking about you. When God turn you loose, you ain't going to be the same. Some of y'all thought I was talking about an object. No, I'm talking about you this morning. Some of us, if we don't get the blessing that we're seeking for, that we ask for, let me tell you this, he's still worthy. His credit is still good. I have some people that may not approve me for this loan or that or whatever, but guess what? Don't matter to me. My credit is still good. I still, my bills are still paid. Y'all don't follow what I'm saying? Don't make no difference to me. When you get done turning me down, it don't tarnish my reputation. When you turn the Lord down, it don't tarnish him. He's still God. He's still worthy. The leper came worshiping, asking, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. Not only did the leper come worshiping, but he came believing Jesus because he said, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. He came believing that Jesus can heal. That is how we should come to Jesus. We must come to Jesus believing that he can. We must come to Jesus believing that he can and that he will heal us, heal our families, heal our church, heal our marriages, heal our communities, heal our children, heal this nation. And because the leper believed that Jesus could make him clean, the scripture says that Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. Remember, as I said to you earlier, many miracles Jesus didn't do because of unbelief. Jesus said, oh, I ain't doing nothing here. Y'all folks don't believe nothing. That's the slang way of saying it. Y'all don't believe nothing. I ain't doing nothing. This ain't for entertainment. This is real. I'm not playing with this. But this man, by faith, believed that Jesus could do it, said, if thou will. And Jesus, knowing that this man had a sincere heart, stretched forth his hand. Now, to understand the significance of this, you must understand that lepers were smelly, stinky, bloody mess. Whenever a leper was walking in public, they were to yell, unclean, unclean, I'm unclean, so you won't come near them. Wouldn't it be a blessing today if people were a sinner? Hey, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, don't want to come near me, you don't want to marry me, I'm a sinner, I'm a cheater. You don't want to do that. Life would be much easier, won't it? That's not the world we live in, though. Wouldn't that be a blessing if people shout out what they are? Hey, I'm a loser. Do you really want to marry? Do you really want to be bothered with me? I'm telling you, I'm a loser. And then, if you still go that route, that's your fault. But I'm just telling you, these lepers had to shout out what they were. They had to say, I'm unclean, so people would not come in contact with them or bump into them in public. But yet, Jesus touches his smelly, stinky, bloody leper. And when Jesus touched this leper, he was made clean immediately. So what can we learn from this message? We can learn that no matter how bad we smell from the stench of our sins, no matter how bloody that we may be as a sinner, Jesus is still willing to touch us. No matter what you have done in this life, Jesus is still willing to touch you. Yeah, I know some folks be like, oh, I don't want to touch. But the Lord reached forth his hand to touch. So what am I saying to you? If you're messed up on drugs, all you got to say is, say, Lord, if you're willing, make me clean. Jesus will touch you. If you're messed up on alcohol, say, Lord, if you're willing, make me clean. Jesus is willing to touch you. See, the thing about it is, if you get everybody to say it at the same time, regardless if that affects you or not, people won't be able to point you out, because people wait and say, okay, that person's on alcohol. Oh, that person is dealing with this addiction. Oh, okay. No. Whatever you're dealing with, you speak these words. Okay? If you speak these words, the Lord today is willing, right here, right now, to heal you of your situation. If you're a prostitute, all you got to say is, Lord, if you're willing, make me clean. If you're a whoremonger, all you got to say is, Lord, if thou will, make me clean. If you're a cheater, if you're a thief, if you're a liar, say, Lord, if you're willing, make me clean. If you're disobedient to your parents and your teachers, say, Lord, if you're willing, make me clean. If you're doubting the reality of God, he's still willing to touch you. If you've been disrespectful to your wife, your husband, your children, Jesus is still willing to touch you. If you're sick and you can't get well, Lord, if you're willing, make me clean. Lord, just touch me. If you want your sins to be forgiven, say, Lord, if you're willing, make me clean. Jesus is still willing to touch you. If you're hurt, heartbroken, or emotional damaged, say, Lord, if you're willing, make me clean. Jesus will reach down and touch you. If you feel blind and lost, say, Lord, if you're willing, make me clean. You know, in the scripture, it says that Jesus told him to go and tell the priest.